Hello and welcome to the Women's Cricket South Africa podcast, where we discuss all things cricket. Visit our website, womenscricket.co.za.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Women's Cricket South Africa. We missed you. We have been hibernating here in South Africa. It's been chilly. But we've been watching all the cricket there where it's nice and warm. They're in Ireland and England. And in today's podcast, we have Jenna Sill and Shannon Landman-Creel, who's in the warm Dubai. And Jenna recently moving to Northerns. Hello, Jenna. How are you?
Hi, Maddie. Good, thank you. Yeah, I've recently moved to the Titans ladies team. We've had 5 practices so far, and so far so good. So that's really exciting for the upcoming season.
Yeah, hi Shannon. How's it going in Dubai?
Hi everybody. It's a very cool 42 degrees here this evening, so nothing to complain about. So I think I'd rather be warm than cold back in South Africa. So, but it's all good, thank you.
I don't know if I'm envious or not. I think I'd rather deal with the 3 degrees here. Definitely. I think let's start with a fun segment today. Getting to know your what do we call us? Podcasters. I think people keep on listening to us, but they don't know us. So I think we need to start with the oldest. Shannon.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that, Matt. Thank you.
Tell us
how long do I have?
You have 5 minutes. Tell us about where you started playing cricket and what do you love most about cricket and what do you see the future of cricket going for women?
Well, interesting story, actually. I matriculated in 1995, so I'm pretty old, older than both of you, only, I think, Maddie by 1 or 2 years. I think, were you born then, Jay?
No, hey? No, I wasn't.
No. You were just a thought back then. So basically what happened in 94, my second last year of school, there was no sport for us in the last term. And I approached the principal and said, you know, I want to play a sport, but I don't like tennis. What could I do? So he said, well, there's only cricket. So I was like, okay, cool. So a friend of mine and I joined the second team, and that lasted all of 30 minutes because she subsequently hit the guy in the head because he thought he was silly, and he was fielding at silly on the onside, and she belted a short ball into his noggin. And we were politely asked not to come back. So what ended up happening was we started a team about a week later. And so high school cricket got restarted in the 90s. And a couple of teams were Edenvale High, Eden Glen, Mondial back then. There was no Jeppy, unfortunately for you, Jay. And then shortly after that, we had our first provincial. Junior and senior, held at Queen's High School. So there's a very long heritage of Queen's High School being involved in girls and women's cricket. And then we played club just after that. So that got a restart. Yeah, and that was about it. And then I think around 2006, 2007, I left playing cricket because I unfortunately had to focus on work. And about 10 years after that, I then actually got a message from Mignon Dupriet saying that Wanderers Cricket, who I'd actually belonged to originally when I played club in the early, well, late 90s, early 2000s, was restarting, and I answered an advert. And Maddie, I think that's where I met you. And since then, Wanderers is now the Premier League winners 2 years in a row. So that's basically me in a short. I think cricket right now in the world is exploding, especially on the women's side. We have to thank the shorter format, I think, as much as people want to believe that test cricket is the way to go, because that's everything I hear at the moment is let's play more test cricket. I just think we should probably focus more on the fun part of the game and where we could grow more sponsorships and more players. And I think my heart is in the short format. Even though my love of test cricket is there, But on the women's game, I think the shorter format is the way to go. Anything else, Mandy? Did I skip something there?
Yeah, I think that's about right. And yes, that is where we met back in 2017 at Wanderers. Quickly, my story. I never played outdoor cricket before then. I played a little bit of action cricket back in college days, and that was that. And then I saw this ad on Facebook, and I always liked Wanderers Club, you know, always go there before go to watch a game at the stadium. And then, yeah, free membership would be cool. That's what got me, free membership.
And then, I remember. We all got free membership the first year. Yeah. Yes.
So, yes, that's how I landed up there and never played outdoor. And, yeah, Shannon, thank you for teaching me how to play a bit of cricket. Really grateful for you.
It's a pleasure.
And, yeah, now I'm still there and I hardly play cricket. I just manage most of the times. And, yeah, I love cricket.
You've got to get back onto the field. You've got to get back, Maddie, now and again. Come on.
No, totally.
Swing that willow.
Totally. When I stop managing and running events and so on, I'm sure I can get a game. You know, they always need a wicket keeper. Then I just go and stand and look pretty. Okay.
I love it.
Well, that is me, Jenna, youngster.
Okay, cool. So my sister Robin Sill is 4 years older than me, and she started playing cricket with the boys when she was 7, probably in grade 1. So I was still a tiny tot, and there is a picture of me when I was maybe just below the age of 1 in the back garden holding a huge cricket bat that was 3 times bigger than me with my dad standing behind me. And I don't think we ever connected with the ball, but that is just a picture that I always like talking about, is that we really were born around cricket. My mom used to take my sister and I to the Wanderers to watch Test cricket, and she would sit on the grass embankment for 5 days watching the men play cricket. So yeah, we really were born up, we were grown in a house that really does love cricket. So that's where it comes from.
Tell me quickly, so it is Yvette who loves the cricket and your dad?
Yeah.
Was he also into it, or is it just mostly the girls?
Yeah, mostly my mom. My dad did a bit of running and swimming at school, but he's not very ball-orientated. Yes, not very coordinated when it comes to catching. But yeah, he was a runner and a swimmer, so the athletic part of things came from both him. And my mom played badminton, provincial badminton, when she was young, so definitely comes a little bit from there as well. Yeah, so Robin started playing cricket with the boys in primary school, and she was then kind of scouted when they played against a hub who the manager also for the boys team managed the under 13 girls side, the Gauteng team. And we didn't really realize that girls cricket was a thing. Obviously, we knew that it was like a South African thing, but we didn't realize there was junior cricket as well. So Robin then was invited to play under 13 girls cricket, and I kind of then like fell into a similar pattern of things. I played primary school cricket with the boys, district teams, and then I was obviously called up when I was 11 into the under 13 girls team, and everything just kind of fell into place from there. I played all my junior cricket for Gauteng, and then a year out of high school I played for Gauteng, the senior ladies team. And then I decided to make a move, and I went to Eastern's, to Eastern Storm women's team for a season, which really, I think, helped me in many aspects of my game. I managed to hold myself on the field and to score a couple runs and be in a leadership position in the team, which was really exciting for me. I got to mentor some of the junior teams, which was exciting. And then on top of playing cricket, I'm also working on my level 2 qualification as a coach, which is really exciting. I coach all the cricket teams at JP High School for Girls. That is my old high school. Yeah, and, you know, there's so many different aspects of cricket that people can get involved in that I think is so wonderful. I started commentating for One World Sports Radio, which I think I'm pretty decent at. Obviously, there's still a lot to learn. And podcasts like this, there's so much in cricket that's involved in cricket that isn't cricket. I don't know if that makes any sense. And like the promotion of like females in the game, there's so much going on that there's so many different career paths you can choose, which isn't necessarily physically playing cricket, which I think is so great. If we just look at Mignon Dupriya now, there was a post today about her joining the Fairbreak Global like community. And I think that now that she's stopped playing some formats of international cricket, that now she has that opportunity to stay in the women's game and still earn money. And I think that while there are so many different paths in women's cricket, that there's a lot of opportunities. And that is definitely something I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I think with Mignon leaving some of the formats and CSA not snapping her up is, I'm astounded at the fact that you wouldn't take someone who's put so much into the game and who's grown and who's mentored so many players through her, almost 20 years, and that you don't take her, and she's got a marketing degree, and put her into CSA where we are trying to grow the game, and then you let somebody else snap her up and off she goes. I mean, it's ridiculous. CSA some days actually want to just like knock them on the head and go, what are you thinking, guys? What are you thinking? Because it can only be a man's decision. You know, there's definitely no female leadership up there going, you know, let's use this lady. You know, she's been there all this time. She knows the ins and outs of all the players, all the decision makers. She's been around sponsors. She can grow that aspect of the game. But no, let's leave her and let somebody else snap.
And she would bring some amazing money to cricket. She is so talented in getting money or sponsors or anything just from her Instagram. It's so impressive.
Exactly. I mean, she's done it her whole career. You know, she's marketed herself and she doesn't have an agent. So all of that comes from what she's learned through the years. So again, why would you want to lose that talent? Surely at some stage CSA would have molded her, you know, other than just to play, they would have, you know, spent time with her and grown a little bit outside of the game. And then you just let her sort of walk out. And I think it's poor form on CSA's side. Even though I love you, CSA, but surely when you make these bad decisions, then I just really, I can't understand it. But anyway, let's talk women's cricket worldwide. Come on. Let's not focus on CSA.
Yeah, because we can go on and on and on. Let's stop it there. But let's focus on Proteas are touring, Momentum Proteas are touring, and they did brilliantly in Ireland. So, and now they off to, probably already in England, and Monday is the first test in a long time. So let's talk first about the tour to Ireland.
I'll jump in if you don't mind, Maddie, Jay. I'll jump in quickly. I think there's a bit of a rocky start in the beginning. I think we lost the first T20, and not by a little bit. I think we got a bit of a hammering, and I think it was a wake up call for all of the players that were out there. And of course, we then came back, and you know, we had some standout performances from Sune, firstly the captain. I think some of the decision-making, I didn't watch all the games, but I watched some highlights. I think there was some really good decision-making. But I think what's happening with her is she's growing in a stature of being a captain. And it's going to be interesting when Danae comes back, I think. I don't know if I'd want to be in that change room. But other than that, I think, you know, we had Andre Steyn, who then played in the ODI format, and I think she did brilliantly. We had Laura Goodall, who I mean, seriously, she shocked me, I must admit. I haven't been a totally out there fan of hers. I've always felt number three position is not for her, but, you know, then she opened and she proved me wrong. So I think she's had a tremendous tournament, and I hope she can carry that momentum. And from the bowling aspect, Shabnim, I mean, she, of course, is a powerhouse. And she again showed her stuff. She's again in the top 10 rankings for bowling. I think she even moved up a position this last week. And I'm looking forward to the tour to England. I think the wickets will be pretty similar. And if we can, you know, bat like we did up front, which is what we've been lacking over the last couple of series. We haven't had consistent runs up front. And And I think, yeah, we're going to definitely give England a good run for their money. And I think we'll pull off a series win.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. The Irish tour, obviously, Laura hadn't scored many runs, obviously coming out of the World Cup. But I think it is exciting seeing players score runs. And some people will go back and say, yes, but it was against Ireland. But you also have to say that runs are runs, you know. And yes, runs are runs, but runs are also confidence. And I think scoring runs against teams like Ireland can definitely make you score runs against stronger teams like England, just simply because of the confidence that it gives you. So I am really excited for the English tour, just to see how the Irish tour influenced those players, and to see what it's going to bring out of them.
Well, you know, half the bowling lineup for Ireland play in England. So, or they've come from playing, you know, that side, Super League and the 100 and whatever. Maybe I think there's only one that comes out of the 100. But so, yeah, like you say, runs are runs. And that still gives you the confidence to then face up against the, you know, the Shrubsoles and the Brunts and the Sivers, or the Mrs. and Mrs. Siver. I'm not sure. Or Brunt Siver or Siver Brunt. I'm not sure what they're going to go by in public now. But, you know, yeah, so like you say, runs are runs, and you know, bat on ball, and any cricketer knows that. So again, I agree with you. I think it's going to be so exciting, and I'm hoping that this momentum carries with them. And I think if we can get that first win under the belt, we'll for sure have a contest on our hands. Definitely, definitely.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Let's talk about Test cricket. You go first.
Okay, yeah, South Africa hasn't played Test cricket in a bit, so it's going to be really exciting to see what happens. When I was in the commentary box when South Africa was playing against West Indies, it was interesting listening to the men speak about how the women were going to play Test cricket. And a couple of the people said that, I can't remember exactly who it was, said that Tasman Brits was going to be a key player in the Test squad. And I don't really understand that at the time, and I still don't really understand that at the time. And I'm not really sure why they said that, because she has been dropped for that. So that was a bit confusing. But I am excited to see what other players are going to do. I'm glad to see that Sinalo Jafte is back in the squad. I do think that her and Trisha need to share the loads of the keeping. So that's going to be interesting to see how they do that. Having said that, though, Trish has been totally okay through the whole Irish tour. So, yeah, and just I think the batting lineup for the Test cricket is going to be interesting to see how they go about it.
Well, let me give you my thoughts and why they're probably saying that Taz would be good. Is Taz doesn't play anything on the offside. And Test cricket is leave the offside alone. Anything straight, leg side, you play it. That's frankly, that's how she plays. I mean, she's definitely no Laura Wolfart on the offside. I mean, she's not going to go on one knee and cover drive you. That's just not going to happen. So, yeah, I would probably do the same. I might even pick her, but she can't be picked because she hasn't gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but that's, I mean, that's, you know, it's quite interesting that the men would have picked that up. And, yeah, kudos to them. But I think Andre Steyn, she better be in that opening lineup. Because really, I will have even more to say about CSA if they don't pick her for the test. So, and of course, they're going to go spin option. They have to. They're going to have to do that. And then, of course, you're going to definitely have to put Aya in, you know, with her in swinging. You're going to definitely have that. And I mean, Shabnim, of course, you can never leave her out if she's healthy. So, yeah, that middle order is going to be interesting. Of course, I would not play Lizelle Lee. I wouldn't. I wouldn't risk it. And not because I think she wouldn't be good at it. I just think her brain sometimes, I don't know, it sort of just goes up in the air, and then she plays a rash shot and she'll go out. I don't think she has the patience to play a 4-day. Sorry, it's not even a 5-day. But let's talk about that, because that is going to be a conversation I'd like to have. But we'll come back there. So for sure, I would bring Laura back in. I'd bring her in. Because, I mean, she's quite capable. She's also lefty, so it's important. So Laura, Andre, Laura, Sune, middle order from there. Nadine's young. Give her a shot. Let her play. I think it would be good for her to play a test. and she actually deserves it. You know, she's been in the lineup a long time, and it would mean a lot to her. It would really mean a lot to her, because really a win is not likely unless they seriously take 20 wickets in the first day. But and that also depends if England is going to open or not open. So again, the toss is going to be seriously important. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with that. And yeah, I think I've discussed the bowlers, and yeah, but to see a Protea Test match or Protea Women's Test match is going to be awesome. It's going to be really one of those things that you probably only maybe see twice in your lifetime. So, and this will be my first one. So I'm quite excited. I'm 44. I didn't watch the other one because they weren't televised. Yes, in fact, not even way back in Daylinta Blanche's days and Kim Price's days did I actually watch a test of theirs, because it wasn't on TV. So this will definitely be a must-see for me. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, let's say 5 days versus 4 days, because this was a big talking discussion during the Ashes, Women's Ashes, when England went to Australia not so long ago. What are your thoughts on that, Jay? 5 or 4 days?
Well, traditionally, obviously, Test cricket is obviously more seen and more played in the men's format of the game. And 5 days definitely works. However, I don't really know. I just think the more cricket that women play, the better, and the more televised it is and the more watched it is. I think I don't mind the shortened day, because maybe it that keeps the crowd in like focused. I don't mind it, actually. So I don't really have much to say on that. Yeah, what are your thoughts?
I'm in twofold about it. One, if you're going to play England and Australia, two very, very good sides, play 5 days, because I think you can get a result, because everybody wants a win. You know, nobody really wants, which is where the American sports are so good, because there's always a winner.
Yeah.
You know, and people watch, and that's why they got sponsorship and things like that. So you want an England-Australia winner. You don't want a draw, because that's crap. That nobody's going to switch on the TV for that. Mm-hmm. So when you're playing, let's say, Sri Lanka-Pakistan game, 4 days, because you probably would get a result out of 4 days, because at one innings, you're definitely going to get a bowler that's going to come through on the women's side and for sure take a lot of wickets. So, yes. So I don't want to say the poorer nations, because that's terrible. But I want to say, and not lesser skill. That's not what I want to say. But I just think it should be on merit. You know, South Africa, England, merit. I think 5 days, for sure. Maybe not in the beginning, you know, if there's going to be looking forward to the future. I think the more they play, the better they're going to become at playing Test cricket. Like I said, you know, earlier with Tasman, don't play outside off. So the more they learn that lesson, the better it will be for them. But definitely play 5 days on the nations that can handle and there's a win that will come. Play 4 days for the nations that are not used to it, that, you know, obviously won't play it often, and where the result is assured. So again, that's really how I feel about the test.
Yeah, I definitely agree with, you know, because South Africa hasn't played test cricket in such a long time, that this is definitely a good start, the four-day game. And the men do it in South Africa as well. I mean, provincial time cricket is only played over 4 days, and that's simply because the men don't get to play time cricket that often. So that four-day split, I think, is a good start for the women.
Now, you know, back in my day is in the 2000s when I played provincially. We actually played three-day provincial games against provinces, and there was always a result, because there was always one innings that a team dominated, either with the bat and they could declare, or we took a lot of wickets and we lost, which is Gauteng lost against Northern quite often, because they used to always win innings, like 4 or 5 run outs, which was my favorite. And then the tail had to stay in. And then I was always like, I'm part of that tail. I'm not staying in, because I've got someone running in at 1,000 miles per hour, which I'm not used to. And now you want me to stay in and, you know, swinging outside often. I, you know, trying to hold my bat. And anyway, that was my argument many years ago. So hence I got dropped and never made a provincial team again. But yeah, I think globally there needs to be a move towards playing test, but there needs to be baby steps. Play 3-day, you know, in your provinces or even clubs. I think there should be maybe, you know, your top two should or top four should maybe play a 3-day type game. I mean, let's, you know, talk about Gauteng. Back home, you know, you've got your Soweto, you've got your Wanderers, you've got your Randburg, and who am I missing? Delphos. Your four top sides. They're all Premier League sides. They're all teams capable of playing 3 days. And they've got bowlers who can bowl 20 overs, 25 overs. So play it. You know, why not try? You know, so again, baby steps, move towards a goal and get everybody into it. And I think the same goes for international level as well. So, yeah, maybe someone's going to listen and try it out.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the style of cricket that I play and also to some extent that Robin plays and that many players at provincial level do play is definitely suitable for a longer format of cricket. So that's potentially somewhere where players like us could excel. Obviously, it takes a lot of work and there's definitely preparation that needs to go into that, because playing cricket over a long time like that does need a certain level of conditioning, which obviously we need to get to first. But I definitely think that it's a good idea just to allow a different type of cricket, because this white ball cricket gets like a bit like stressful at times. So I'm definitely a fan of provincial longer format cricket.
Well, it's like a game of chess. You know, people on a chessboard, you can play draughts or you can play chess. Draughts is the quicker version, but draughts has no real strategic plan where chess does. So this is where cricket is now. You have your strategic, yes, 50 over T20 does have the strategic part, but not as big as test cricket does. You know, there's a whole lot of things that go into the planning, and there are, of course, different types of batting lineups, different types of bowlers. So yes, I agree, it would be great for you to play the longer version for both you and your sister, mm-hmm. for sure. And there's many more players like you out there.
Yeah.
And I think we're definitely stifling the women's game by not playing test, but I don't think that should be our main focus. I still think the shorter format should be, you know, put up front, and even a shorter format than a T20 should be put out there at some levels. And because that's your confidence builder in your players that make your big shots, you know, on the shorter format. So again, there's both sides to this, but somewhere we've got to start with it. So it will be exciting if it does, for sure.
Yeah, I really want to play this cricket. Hi there. Because I love spending time in the middle. I love blocking the balls when I can see them. But yeah, it's like I'm the best partner. I can stand there and block away, and then you can come and score the runs. And I can do that in test cricket. Don't have time in the 35 overs to do that. Not at all.
Maddie, the problem with you blocking is you don't block and run on the sixth ball. You block and stay.
No,
you got to let the other person bat.
You missed the whole season.
Somebody else has to face.
You got to ask our best batter for the season who was her favorite partner to bat with.
Who was the best batsman of the season?
Oh, Hubert, I can't tell you. The awards is only on Saturday.
Oh, sorry. Okay, mum's the word. No talking about it.
Okay. Now we've got the test, and then we've got ODIs. What are we expecting for the Proteas to do against England?
I'm expecting them to beat them, actually. The last time we went out, I was actually there. I got to watch that series. New Zealand was there as well. When we played, we were dismal. We just didn't arrive. I'm not sure what happened that series, but I think it's a totally different mindset now. Majority of the team is the same, but I genuinely believe that this series will be our series to win. I think we can only lose it. I don't think England can beat us. And I think if they do, it's going to be something profound. I think it's going to be like a massive, someone's going to play out of their socks, like a Shabnim will take a fiver, or, you know, someone from England will take a fiver or a sixer that will just, like, knock us off our boots, and you know, mentally we'll break down. But I genuinely believe that the players we're seeing coming through the South African lineup now, I don't think that those types of players anymore. I genuinely believe with Marozon being back, Lazelle being back, I seriously believe that this series is going to be ours.
Yeah, I agree. I think if we look back at the World Cup when South Africa did play against England, I think the batters struggled significantly against Sophie Eccleston. So I think what I'm excited for in the ODIs is to see if they've learned how to play against her. And she is world-class, and I do hope that they've spent time working on that. Just to see if we can increase our run rate against her and just, you know, try and capitalize. Yeah, instead of just trying to hold her down.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wow, I got to watch her here at the fair break when they were here in Dubai, and I seriously didn't expect her to bowl so quick. But gee whiskers, she can bowl quick, and she gets that ball to turn off the turf. You know, it's heavy spin through the air, heavy turn once it pitches. And of course, you can't. Dunkley is also going to play, so that's going to be a real test. Where we've got a lot of players or bowlers, I should say, that toss the ball up. They don't get much purchase on the spin. It's more that length vary and a little bit, you know, toss up a little bit quicker. So which we don't bat against often. So yes, you're absolutely right. I wonder what preparation they've done, and maybe they've brought in a few guys that you know, bowl a little bit quicker, have a better spin that can then, try and work out where they play. But of course, you've got Sunay, Laura, Lazelle, who've all played against her that will expect it. And she's going to bowl very early, I think, in the innings, very early.
Yeah.
I don't believe she'll take that middle spot because she's a wicket taker. So she's going to bowl where they need to take wickets. And, yeah, of course, I mean, she is world-class. I mean, she is an unbelievable player. And she can bat, you know. She can swing the willow. I've seen her hit some big sixes. And it's not like just swing the bat and see how far it will go. It's genuine good cricket shots. So, yeah, exciting times. I think it's going to be very close. As the World Cup was close, I think it's going to be like that for sure. And hopefully we don't lose our heads, you know, that first game we played and then played against the second game and then lost. You know, we can't sit back and go, well, we beat you once, we'll beat you twice. But again, I think there were heavy lessons learned during the World Cup. And I genuinely believe that the series is going to be ours. And I hope I'm not speaking too quickly, but I don't know. I just have a trust in them that I haven't had really before. I mean, I've always known my team. But there's a trust factor that they, you know, Sunay's a finisher. Laura's a run maker. Laura's, you know, got runs. Andre Steyn should be there. And you've all these elements that are clicking right now. And it would be great if we can go through that series and then hit Commonwealth. And, it's going to be the next couple of months of cricket for South Africa. It's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. And especially with the players who were on the bench in the World Cup, Tumi and Nadine, they bowled well in Ireland. And I do think that the conditions in Ireland compared to England, similar. So not exactly the same, obviously, but definitely similar. And I do think that we saw that from the first game, the first T20 in Ireland, that they definitely learned how to play with the conditions. So yes, different to Australia, completely different to Australia, but exciting to see what we're going to do. And I'm glad that the Irish tour was first, so that they could kind of get an idea of what was going to happen, like conditions-wise, and just take it from there.
I just hope we don't fall into the same trap as the World Cup. I think there was only one game that we didn't play Masabota class due to injury, and we went the same lineup game after game after game. I hope we don't fall into that trap. I understand playing consistently if you're winning, sure. But again, sometimes you've just got to, you know, be a little bit more inventive in what you're doing and not throw caution to the wind. I wouldn't, because it's a professional game. You know, it's not club cricket where you can send in the towel in and see if she makes runs. But I just think you can make a calculated risk by changing something up. And, you know, Australia's done it to England time and time again. And every time they do it, it throws England off because they work the plan. And then suddenly the plan is not what they had. And it causes a little bit of a dip. And Australia ends up winning those close encounters. So I just hope that Hilton doesn't fall into the same trap as the World Cup.
Yeah, I definitely do hope that we see the likes of Andrew Steyn getting into that lineup and showing what she can do against quality bowling lineups. So, yeah, I'm excited to see, as you said, a bit of a change up, just to see what how much talent we have besides those 11 that played in the World Cup.
No, I mean, like you said, you know, Nadine and Tumi, I think they've been on the fringes for so long and they've proved themselves time and time again. When Tumi's bowling against West Indies when we were at home, she played really well. She's a tremendous fielder. She's batting, you know, up front for Northwest as far as I remember the last time she played. So she's worked on her game. I see maybe you're thinking, am I wrong, Jay, about her batting?
Yeah, middle order. Right, okay.
Yeah, middle order. So where she was batting tail end. So she's worked on the game and she's put her hand up. She's putting it up every single time she plays. I think there was only one game that she really got hit a bit, but that every bowler goes through that. And then Nadine, I don't know how much more she can put in to say, I'm ready to play international cricket on a full-time basis. And I don't know if it's because the WBBL have now, you know, that they brought her in and she's played now two seasons, that only now we're starting to wake up. But she's consistently, when she played Northerns, played Province, when she plays internationally, she makes runs and she contributes on the field. So, you know, again, stop playing the players that don't do it, that don't put their hands up. Play the players that do consistently. So, yes, hopefully someone's going to hear us and do something different in England.
Yeah, and if I can just speak a little bit on like what the Titans ladies team is doing now, they're trying to make the squad as big as possible so that the competition, the inter-squad competition, like that fighting to get a position in the starting 11. And I think it's such a good thing, and it's definitely something that the Proteas have. But then they don't give the spots to the players who deserve them. So yes, there is that always fighting for a spot, but then the players who are always left out are like, hold on, what else do I actually have to do? Because they know that they deserve to get a spot. So yes, it's great to have a big squad and to have so much talent within it, but if you're not using it correctly, then there's not really much point.
Yeah, there's key positions in any team. Mm. Which you don't want to swap.
Yeah,
but there are always middle orders where you can rotate and you can take players in and out of middle order. You can do the same in your bowling four and five position. Totally agree with that. Mm. That's where you make the changes. You obviously don't change your opening pair or your number three, number four. You don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's committing suicide. But like you say, you know, the people that put their hands up, play them. If there's four or five, talk to those four and five and say, listen, okay, we're going to play this team, you're going to play. You're going to play that team, you're going to play. And then that's how you get to get players that play more often. They get game time. They get confident. They know what you're looking for as a coach. They know what the captain requires from them. And so the mental game also starts to become in the forefront of their minds, and they know what it's to be done out there on the field. So, but if you don't talk to your players and say, this is what I need from you, and you give them a shot, because you can talk on a chalkboard as much as you want, but out there is what matters. So, yeah, so I totally agree with you, Jay. Definitely, it would be great to see that for sure.
And, you know, I also have to kind of wonder, just from the little bit of, like, inner knowledge that I have of, like, and it's very small and from a couple of years ago, so it might be wrong, but that there isn't that much communication that goes into who the starting 11 is and who isn't and what you have to do to get there. And I do feel like, in the team there, and again, could be wrong, in the team there definitely there's a hierarchy, and players at the top definitely have more say than players at the bottom, which is obviously normal and natural. But I do feel like the shot callers have a lot of say in what happens, and they're different voices and different things going on in the team. So I think sometimes as a player coming into that setup, it can be a bit confusing. And that's in every team. Just trying to work out where you fit in and what the actual game plan is that everybody agrees to.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the past, for sure, it's definitely been, I've had conversations with players, with management, with commentators, where it's like, what are they thinking? I mean, it's been so blatant that, you know, you are so 100% sure that the coach could never have made that decision, that somewhere there was an influence that came and said, you know what, this is what we want to go with. I'm going to speak of one example that I remember in Maritzburg. Tasman Brits ran out Lizelle Lee. And I think the very next game, Tasman didn't play. Now, she's scoring runs. Okay, she ran out the top player. But I stand corrected, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about the incident. So, and I'm just like, who made that decision to drop her the next game? I don't think that was a coach's decision. I really don't, because she was making runs. So why would you do that? And I mean, maybe she went out, I think she scored a 50 or, actually, I think she scored an 80 and then didn't play the next game. And from what I understand is that, of course, Lizelle was very upset. You could see when she walked off the field that she was angry. But, I mean, people get run out in cricket all the time. This is the game. You know, you know your partner makes a mistake. And actually, if I remember correctly, the call wasn't hers and she ran anyway. It was Tasman Brits's call. And and it went badly wrong, and as it does sometimes. But again, you just got to take it and go, well, you know, SHIT happens, sorry. But yeah, that decision to drop her the next game was, and I think there were some games after that that, you know, she got in, didn't make runs, and then out the team again. And so it went between her and Laura. And I think it's gone like that for two or three seasons now, so, which is not fair on them. It's definitely not fair on them. So, yeah, but I think right now, like I said, I have a better trust factor when it comes to what's happening. And as much as I don't want to say that sometimes it's good that some players are not in at the moment and they're getting a rest period, it allows other players that have been on fringes to come in and through and show what they've got. So, yeah, even though, I mean, I miss Kapi and I miss Dane and I miss Lee and I miss, you know, I miss them when they don't play because they are such big personalities on the field. But I really enjoy the quieter players, like your Toomies and your Nadines and your Andries. You know, I enjoy watching them play because they're really good cricketers. So, yeah.
Yeah, totally agree with you.
I really do have a lot to say tonight. Sorry, girls.
No, keep on saying.
So funny.
So I had a conversation with the finance guy of CGL, and I was like putting him on the spot. What are you doing for women's cricket? Are you spending more money? Not sure.
Well done, Maddie. We'll keep you.
Not sure I'm allowed to say. And he said the ladies, the senior ladies will get a B team now. So there will be the senior ladies, the B team, and then the under 19s.
Wow. You know how long I've been saying that for? When I was women's executive, I pushed and pushed for that B side. And I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you why it's happening now. And Jay, you can correct me, but I think you actually were in one or two of those meetings. I said that we have so much talent and we are only playing one provincial team where a B side could play in the second, is it called the A group? It's Premier, then A, then B, hey? Jay, am I right? How does it go with provincial?
Yeah.
Top six, A and B.
And then group A and group B.
Okay. So I always said that we could have a team play in the A section and that could compete because we had players, and I'm talking age players like you and players like Khloni Sadik and who else? Munshu, Rufuli Munshu, who would be better to start at that level than being really hammered every time. Not saying you, but them being hammered every time that they played against the Northwest, the Western Province, even Northerns at that stage. And I said, play these girls and bring in the youngsters, bring in your under 16s, under 17s, under 18s. Play them there, let them get familiar with touring, with being isolated, you know, having quality, so to speak. I mean, it's not top six, but then they get to play as a group, they grow up together, you have a coach, a bowling, not just school cricket, because what happens is they go from high school cricket, which is no good, we know that, play a little bit of club, and then whoop, straight into provincial. It doesn't make sense to do it that way. So I pushed and pushed and pushed for this, and I'm so glad that 3 years later, eventually they've now gotten to that point. But this is a direct influence from the Under-19 World Cup. There is a reason why they need them to play. Because if they don't play, they're going to get hammered because we're going to face players like India, where Shivali Verma is coming to South Africa. I'm telling you that right now. There's a couple of other Under-19 girls that play India, senior women's cricket, that are coming as well. That doesn't even mention Australia, England. Even you've got some of the Sri Lankan girls that are coming that, I mean, South African girls are not going to know what's going to hit them if they don't play more competitive cricket. Because high school cricket doesn't cut it in South Africa.
Yeah, I totally agree. The jump from under-19 provincial cricket to senior provincial cricket is such a big one that often, and especially in Robin's age group, the way that, obviously speaking from Gauteng, because that's where I grew up from, Gauteng got players to play cricket, girls to play cricket, by giving them schooling. And it then got them through school, got them through high school. And then as soon as they matriculated and were not good enough to play provincial cricket, they stopped playing cricket completely. And provinces lost players like completely because that gap was so big that players were then lost. And then you kind of like, it feels like the province wasted all that money, and it's not a waste, obviously, because obviously education is such a key thing in anybody's life. But to then invest so much into that player just for them to fall through the cracks. And I do believe that another level of provincial cricket can definitely like balance that out.
Yeah, but also then you come back to you giving these girls all the opportunities, the education. Why don't, while they're playing, educate them more, get them into scoring, umpiring, coaching, give them all those skills as well so that they stay in cricket, so that they work in cricket, so that we can have the next South African coach in 10 years' time being a female. We just need to invest in these girls.
Maddie, I think it comes from the fact that their love for the game wasn't there first. The need for education was there first. I think that's the problem there. So, and again, like Jay says, yes, education is important, but you have to have, in anything that you do, you have to have that love and passion for it, because it is long hours. It is standing on the field for 50 overs. It's going to train. It's all of that. And then when you get out of school, no one's paying for it, firstly. No one's now encouraging you, you get this for doing that. So now it has to come from yourself. If that love is not there, it's not going to come. And that's probably why that happened. Of course, and it caused a huge vacuum. You know, it caused a massive vacuum out of CGL alone, and which is what caused the huge dip in women's cricket. But luckily, over the last few years, it started to come back up again. And, you know, we're finding more and more teams are playing, and girls are now staying. I mean, Wanderers has this brilliant outreach program. So, you know, you're getting girls that love the sport, that want to play, they just don't have that financial side, but they were really playing, you know, and those are the girls we've got to find, because those are the girls that will stay in club cricket, that will then play provincial cricket, that will then become senior players, that will become your next African captain and of course, coach and scorer or umpire, whatever. So, yeah, you have to have the love for the game. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'm struggling with the girls to play at Wanderers. Give them the opportunities to go watch a live game at the stadium. Okay, we'll get you transport there and let's go and as a team go support it. And they're never interested. They don't have that passion of watching women's cricket like the Proteas playing. They want to play themselves always, every game they want to play, but they don't have that extra passion for cricket, for seeing where they can end up. Don't know.
Well, I also don't know, because it's a recipe that I agree. It's never kind of worked. I mean, I'm always saying to everybody, if to learn women's cricket, you've got to watch women's cricket, whether you watch it live or watch it on TV. But very few people do that actually play the game. And it is very surprising. And I'm not sure how to change it. All I can say is just keep asking them. You know, it's like this, who is your favorite woman's player? Then they all look at you. And I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, you play as, and don't even start with mentioning AB de Villiers, because then I want to throw a hissy fit. I'm like, you have these brilliant women cricketers. And in fact, let me tell you a brilliant story. I'm sitting at the Dubai Stadium, right? And I'm sitting in the Royal Box. Thank you. I was in the Royal Box. Hey. And behind me are these two girls, and they're on their phones. And the one girl's like, I don't know about cricket, and why am I here? And the other girl's like, oh, but I thought you wanted to come watch. Like, yeah, but you wanted to come watch. And your dad brought us, and there's food. And, you know, okay, I'll just blow my phone. So for about half an hour, I'm listening to this conversation. And then I'm like, girls, you have no idea who's on the field in front of you. You've got some of the biggest legends in the game. So eventually I had to say something because, of course, I can't keep quiet. So I said to the one blonde girl sitting right behind me. So I turn around and go, can I explain to you one thing? So she's like, okay, strange lady. I said, do you know who's on the field there? So she's like, no. I said, can I explain to you? She's like, okay, ma'am. So I almost slapped her because I'm like, I'm not your ma'am. But okay, it could have been worse. But I was like, okay.
Okay, ma'am, we listen.
Let me tell you who's batting. Yeah. let me tell you who's playing. You have Susie Bates, who is the ex-captain of New Zealand. You have Stefanie Taylor, who is the current captain of the West Indies. You have Sinead Lewis, who is currently South African captain. You have, and then I was rambling off all these players, and I'm like, you know, they've been playing the game for so long. They played so many World Cups. They're current World Cup champions because Villani was, Elise Villani was playing at the stage as well. And I'm like, so it's kind of like, let me use it like a Ronaldo for football. That's kind of like what's in front of you right now. So I said, you are privileged to be watching some of the biggest names outside of a World Cup in one game. That is totally unheard of. You will never get that ever again. So I'm like, please pay attention. Mm-hmm. If you want to know the rules, I'll tell you the rules. So and then the other girl, she like looks at me and her dad looks at me and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I overstepped. But he's just smiling at me because he obviously brought his daughter who's interested in cricket, who has a friend who knows nothing. And I sort of passed on a little bit of knowledge, you know, to these girls. And the next game I saw them, they actually sat and they watched the game. So it's just trying to, you know, get these youngsters to understand how privileged we are to be able to watch it on TV now and able to see some of the giants of the game. And yeah, so that's my sad little story, but it's actually very interesting. It was just poignant for that moment, Manny. So I thought,
yeah, we need to ignite the passion for women's cricket in the girls. We need to. It would be great if more Proteas can be accessible, and if there's more events where these girls can get to the Proteas, can see this is my hero. I had a talk with her. She showed me out the ball. There need to be more of that for the normal girl that's at school that, oh, maybe I try to play cricket, but she needs that. There needs to be more. That's all I want to say. There needs to be more. Shannon.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sorry, I'm going to say something again. The WBBL, when they do team signings, like the Melbourne Stars will do team signing, the boys and the girls or the men and the ladies go together. They don't separate them. So that way drives the fan basis or foundation or whatever you want to call it, so that a boy can see a woman can play and a girl can see men play. So it just widens the variety that's available out there. And I mean, you've got boys that are saying their favorite player, Sophie Devine. I mean, I've seen a couple of interviews where boys are saying like they, you know, who their favorite players are women. So I mean, that's unbelievable. But that happens in Australia and New Zealand. And we need to start doing that. We need to start having the women sign, go to Sportsman's Warehouse that I saw the other day, the men were signing shirts. Why did they not have Danae, who is available, Marizan was available, Lizelle was available, have them there? I mean, they're contracted. They should be under obligations to go and sit and smile to the cameras and take photographs. Because if you don't put them in front of it, no one's going to know who they are. So, yeah, agree. They've got to do it, Manny.
Jenna?
Okay, I just want to put in like a little bit of a spanner into the works. there was a young girl that I played cricket with a couple of years ago, and she was called up into the senior provincial side. And I kind of had like a chat with her because I like kind of like wanted to include, I wanted to get to know her a little bit like when she entered the team. And I kind of said to her, you know, like, what are your plans for cricket? Like, what are your goals in cricket? And she was like, oh, No, I just play cricket for fun and I really enjoy doing it. And like, I don't really have all these big dreams or big plans. And a few years down the line, this girl is now one of the top performing under 19 cricketers in the country. And I'm not going to say who she is because those dreams and goals might have changed since I had that conversation with her. But my mom actually said something to me really interesting when I kind of brought up that she's doing so well at an under 19 level. And my mom said, do you know why? It's because it's not this huge big thing in her life. And for me, that was so interesting because cricket isn't her entire life. And it's not like, if she fails on the cricket field, she's failed as a person. She just goes out there, she expresses herself, she has fun, and she does her thing. And that is the way that she's excelling. So yes, there is that thing that some people need to have this huge big goal and this will to play cricket for your country. And that's great for some people. But at the same time, like, cricket isn't all about playing cricket for your country. It's also just about having fun and just playing with your friends and expressing yourself on the field. And you don't always have to have this huge, big passion for the game. You can just play because you love playing. And I do think that there obviously, yes, too, but also many more sides to the game than we might always acknowledge.
I totally agree with you. I think, yeah, for sure there are. But that under 19 girl, she's not going to play Protea, because there's always that the greats. There is a difference between being great and being good, and that great you can't teach that. That is something in you, which is something I've always believed, and it's a little bit of ego, because I think all the greats have an ego. If we look back at in any sport, any of the great players had that ego, and that's what drove them. So, yes, if it's not her thing to become a Protea, maybe under 19 Protea, sure. You know, she plays because she enjoys it and she does well at that level. But to then get the next step, there is that one thing you've got to have. And I don't know who she is, but I'm sure she's a great person, but she's not going to play Protea.
Yeah, well,
not at that level.
She might. And if that happens for her, then she does well at that level.
And you tell me. And you slap me around and say, Shannon, you were so wrong that day.
Yeah.
But then and I'll accept it. Absolutely.
Sorry, now I'm going to say, if you look back at AB de Villiers, he had so many different sport options. If he wasn't going to succeed in this one, he's going to succeed in that one. So she just had her options open. It's like, I'm just having fun doing whatever there is, so I can just be my best in anything. So you never know, she might choose now, okay, I'm gonna focus on cricket and this is it.
Yeah, and I hope that if she does choose that focus doesn't take away the love of the game. And yeah, I really do see her having such a great time on the field, and I really do hope that as the level continues to increase that she doesn't lose that. So yeah.
No, I just think for all of us is that the more we can inspire a girl to play, a girl to pick up the bat, I think that is the most important thing, is that the more people we have playing, the more moms and dads we have involved, aunties, uncles that come and watch. And I think if we can inspire one and they can inspire another two and so on and so forth, and we can have this effect and it becomes a global effect to play because it is fun. I think we always have to remember as coaches, as teachers, as people playing the game, don't take the fun out of the game. Make it fun and so people will stay. And I think if we can just pass that on to as many people as we can, the sport will grow even faster than what it's growing at the moment.
Yeah. And I think just to end off with is that, yes, cricket is cricket and cricket is great, but cricket teaches you so many things other than just cricket. There's so many life lessons that you can learn in cricket, and that if we as a female cricketing community can create other opportunities and teach other lessons within the game of cricket, I think we're definitely heading in the right direction.
I totally agree. Well said, Joe. Well said.
Well said. You all made such good points. I really thank you for doing this podcast with me. We'll do it again soon. And let's look forward to that test. I can't wait to watch. Hopefully I'm not working and I can just sit in front of the telly.
Yeah, cheers, everybody. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you for having me, Mads.
Thank you. Bye all.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Cricket South Africa podcast. Please find us on our website, womenscricket.co.za, and Women's Cricket South Africa on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you get your podcasts. Catch you in the next episode, and we're out.